National headlines and the local stories you care about. WLBB Carrollton News Talk 1330 FM 106.3.
Good morning. Welcome to Community Voice. Today is Friday, March 28th. I'm your host, Josh Engel. This morning's episode of Community Voice is currently being live streamed on our WLBB News Talk 1330 Facebook page. So if you have any questions for myself or our illustrious guest, Dr. Thelma Lucas, feel free to hop in the chat. You got any comments, questions, kudos, anything you got, feel free to throw that in the chat. Very, very pleased today to have Dr. Thelma Lucas with West Georgia Gastroenterology Associates here with us this morning. It is a colon cancer awareness month, or colorectal cancer. We'll talk about that in a second. We're going to expound upon the difference there. Dr. Lucas is board certified in gastroenterology. She earned her medical degree from the University of Illinois at Chicago College of Medicine. She also completed her internship and residency and fellowship at University of Illinois Hospital in Chicago. Before we get started, what was it like living in Chicago?
Oh, it was amazing, and it was very chilly in the winters, but we loved it.
Nice. I've heard it's very cold. I've seen footage of like that, you know, the water, like big sheets of ice and everything.
Yeah, it's amazing. It's beautiful. And you get to wear like all of your fall and winter fashion.
Ooh.
So that's good.
I like that.
We rarely canceled an event just because it was cold or snowing.
They just kept going.
We just kept it going.
And to see here in the South, the wind blows too hard. We're just like, you know, I don't know if I can go to that wedding today. I mean, it might pepper snow or something. I've always wanted to go because I'm a big nerd, so I like the Batman movies. And a lot of the recent Batman movies were filmed in Chicago, which I think is super cool. So that's great. All right, so you spent some time in Chicago, came down here where it's a little bit warmer. Why don't you tell the listeners at home a bit more about yourself, a bit more about you, maybe personally?
Ooh, all right. Where do I start? Okay, so I am from a huge family. Well, it didn't seem that big growing up, but I am from a big family. I am one of 19 children, one mother, one father, all single births.
Wow.
No twins, no halves, no steps. So I'm actually number 18 of 19. And we were born in Mississippi, moved to Chicago when I was very young. That's where I grew up and went to school. And then I've been here in Georgia for, I think, about 18 years. But it was a lot of fun growing up. I was at the tail end, so I'm sure my life was a lot easier than those at the beginning of it.
So. Well, I'm curious. See, I'm the middle child of three. Ooh. And so I'm the Jan Brady of the family.
Yes.
You know, I tend to skate by in terms of, you know, everything else. The older and younger tended to be the ones that got blamed for stuff. Now, being the 18th child, did you skate by, or did they pay attention to you?
I probably did skate by a lot of things. There were a lot of things that the younger ones got away with that the older ones didn't. So,
sure.
That's just the way it is.
All right. Well, let's jump into it. So, okay. It is, and this is a perfect way to start. So, you know, it's Colon Cancer Awareness Month. But that can be a bit more refined into colorectal cancer month. Can you expound upon that some? Tell us a bit about the difference between the two.
Sure. So we often say colon cancer. The rectum is part of the colon. So we can say colon cancer, colorectal cancer. But there are some patients that will develop a cancer in the rectum. And those cancers can be treated differently as far as need for radiation, chemotherapy, other modalities of treatment. And so sometimes the rectal cancers can be treated differently than cancers in the colon. However, when we do a colonoscopy, of course, we start in the rectum, we go through the entire colon, and anything that we see that's abnormal, we'll take a biopsy, excuse me, or remove it if it's a polyp. But if we're looking at, you know, like some statistics, sometimes in the literature, they'll divide colon cancer from rectal cancer. So for instance, each year there's like over 100,000 new cases of colon cancer that are diagnosed, and almost equal, but a little more amongst the men than the women. And then if you look at rectal cancer separately, probably 40,000 cases of new cases of rectal cancer. And then we'll put all of those together and just say colorectal cancer. So
I see. So does the literature say, what does the literature say in terms of men being more likely to be diagnosed? Is it an influence of testosterone?
Not so much testosterone, probably just lifestyle, heredity.
I eat terribly, so I'm not surprised.
Well, okay. So now that you mention it, I mean, it probably is a little bit more to do with that. There are some, you know, certain risk factors, you know, such as, you know, your diet, you know, smoking and those sorts of things. I'm not saying that you smoke more, or people, you know, with your gender smoke more, but
if you do, probably more genetically predisposed for it or something.
Absolutely.
Well, so maybe we could talk a bit about the importance of awareness, because here we are, you know, talking about the things that you got to keep an eye out for.
Yes.
So March is Colorectal Cancer Awareness Month. Why is it so important to have a dedicated time to spotlight this particular disease?
Well, I think the main reason is because a couple of reasons. One, colorectal cancer is very common, unfortunately. This is the third most common cancer when you talk about cancer deaths. Mm. So colorectal cancer is number three amongst that. The other thing is that it is very treatable if we can diagnose it early. So therefore it's, you know, it's not just, you know, hair on fire, you've got this terrible thing coming, but it's something that we can prevent, it's something that we can catch early, it's something that we can treat. So therefore I think it deserves a spotlight that we just stop and think about what can we do to make sure that we're doing everything we can to prevent getting colorectal cancer.
The Tanner Show's always like, give me some peace and assurance, because there are things that you hear about, you know, like people from like my parents' generation, you know, I hear often about people developing colon cancer, rectal cancer, but getting to know that it's something that can be caught early if you just be aware of it, if you just stay mindful, you might be able to catch it and take some preventative measures.
Absolutely.
So can you share some statistics or facts about how common and serious colon cancer is?
So, as I said, it's a very, unfortunately, a very common disease, and probably, you know, due to our lifestyle in Western countries, not just, you know, here in the South.
We eat a lot of fried foods down here.
Eat a lot of fried foods. We eat a lot of things, but there are a lot of things that go into that. But just in Western nations, we are more likely to develop. I mean, a lot of it has to do with our environment, and you know, external factors, eating, diet.
Microplastics, probably. You know, chemicals.
We don't like to exercise a lot. So all of these things, and then you know, there's heredity that goes into it too. There are a lot of factors that are important, and again, there are going to be over 150,000 new cases that are diagnosed this year, and so we want people to be aware and try not to be in that number.
Absolutely. Well, time is 8:38, so we're going to go ahead and take our first commercial break, but when we come back, we'll continue our conversation with board-certified gastroenterologist Dr. Thelma Lucas as we chat more about Colorectal Cancer Awareness Month and so much more. Community Voice brought to you by Oak Mountain Academy and Tanner Health System.
The AP Scholar Journey at Oak Mountain Academy is designed to provide students with a clearly defined advanced placement curriculum track to earn a series of distinctions upon graduation. This journey enables academically prepared students to pursue college-level studies throughout 17 AP courses in 5 subject categories while enrolled at OMA. I'm Patrick Uran, head of school, inviting you to journey with us on the mountain. For more information, visit us at oakmountain.us. Discover your journey at OMA. Prepare, explore, and achieve.
Consider the Mobius strip. Take a strip of paper, twist it, connect the ends. This connection forms a continuous loop, seamless, infinite. That's how your healthcare should be too. At Tanner Health, the Mobius is our symbol and our promise. representing our continuum of care and our commitment that the services you need will be here for you always. We're not just changing healthcare, we're redefining it. See more at Tanner.org.
And we're back to Community Voice. I'm your host, Josh Engel. Today is Friday, March 28th, and we are continuing our conversation with Dr. Thelma Lucas. She is board certified in gastroenterology, and she currently is with West Georgia Gastroenterology Associates. This is Colorectal Cancer Awareness Month, so if you're just tuning in, be sure to check out either the podcast of this episode, which will be uploaded to the station's website, as well as graticcommunications.com, or you can also check out the live stream, which is going on right now at our WLBB News Talk 1330 Facebook page. So if you have any questions, comments, compliments, kudos, criticisms, whatever you got, lay them in, because we'll take them, we'll handle them head on there. So all right, let's jump right back into screening guidelines.
Yes.
So we often hear that colonoscopies should start at around age 45, so that's about 9 years for me. Why did the recommended age drop from 50 to 45 in recent years?
All right, so the reason that age dropped is because we started discovering that there are a lot of cancers being detected in younger people. And the reason is that people that are older started getting screenings. So we're catching them earlier, we're removing polyps before they turn into cancer. So now we're discovering that the rate of colorectal cancer is increasing in younger people, and that's why the age has been put back from age 50 now to age 45, so that we can catch more of those cancers.
Excellent. Well, is there anyone who might need to start screening even earlier than 45?
Yes. So when we talk about screening, we break it up into routine or patients that are average risk and then those that are high risk. So average risk patient is someone who has no symptoms, no family history of colon cancer. You're just 45 years old. It's your birthday. Let's do it. Let's get you screened.
Celebrate right.
Celebrate right. Absolutely. And then patients that are high risk are patients that have a family history of colorectal cancer. Patients that have a history of inflammatory bowel disease like Crohn's or ulcerative colitis, those patients are at increased risk of developing colon cancer. Patients, and so for instance, let's take if you have a family history, let's say if you have a first degree relative, a parent, a sibling that has colon cancer, then if you're a parent, your child should be screened 10 years earlier than at the age that you are. So if you were diagnosed at age 45, you have a child, your child should be screened at age 35 to catch polyps and those sorts of things. So again, there are certain people that should just get it done earlier because they're at higher risk of developing cancer.
So how effective is early detection in improving survival rates for colon cancer?
It is very effective. We know that colon cancer starts in polyps. Polyps are very small to begin with, and they generally cause no symptoms at all. So it's not unusual to for me to perform a colonoscopy on someone and find a very large polyp. We remove that polyp and it may have a little focus of cancer in there. So if we wait until someone starts to have symptoms, then you know it's later in the course. But if we get that screening done when it's early, when you may have polyps that are causing absolutely no symptoms at all, we can remove those polyps and save you a lot of headache, prevent colon cancer, or catch a cancer in a very early stage. And that's the important thing there.
That's quite assuring. That's very nice to know that. You know how it is. Things are always scarier when you don't understand them, you know.
Sure.
You know, things in the dark are always scarier because you can't quite tell. So kind of getting that clarification, that goes a long way. Because there are listeners out here that are in this age range that might even be experiencing some symptoms. And don't worry, we're going to give you some resources at the end of the program so that you can kind of have an idea of what to keep an eye out for. But, I mean, this is super important information. So it's great that listeners can kind of get this from a calm and competent source that has a lot of experience in this field. Why is it critical to get screened even if you're not experiencing any symptoms?
Again, we want to catch the, if there's a growth, if there's a polyp, we want to catch it while it's earlier. The earlier that we catch it, the more options that we have for treatment. The later on in the course, then we're more limited. So the earlier, the better. And again, polyps generally don't cause a lot of symptoms. By the time someone's coming in with symptoms of rectal bleeding, change in bowel habits, those sorts of things, they probably definitely have something going on there that, you know, is going to require a little bit more.
Sure. Well, for someone who might be nervous or unsure, can you walk us through what a colonoscopy actually entails? You've touched on a little bit, but kind of give us a play-by-play. How does that work out?
Sure. So the thing that I find my patients complain the most about is the prep, which is unavoidable. We have to do it, and it's important. So what you would do is one day prior to your colonoscopy, you'd be on a clear liquid diet. So patients complain about not being able to eat for one day. Clear liquids like Jell-O, Gatorade, water, popsicles, that sort of thing. We would order a prep for you, which there are a ton of different preps, but basically you're going to drink a delicious, I tell my patients, it's a delicious drink that you'll have that will basically cause your bowels to move and get everything all cleaned out. And this is necessary so that we can detect small growths in the colon, and those are the polyps. So you'll, again, one day, for one whole day, no solid food, clear liquid. You'll drink your prep in the afternoon. We even have something called a split prep where you'll do half of it in the afternoon, and you'll get up about 2 in the morning, do the other half. You'll come in later that morning for your procedure, and we get really good results, very good look. The colonoscopy itself takes only about 20 minutes. You'll get some sedation. It'll feel like you closed your eyes for a minute. You wake up, you're in the recovery area. It's a very good nap. You'll be asleep. I'll take pictures for you because you'll be asleep. Back in the old days, you were wide awake watching the screen, watching me do the scope, watching me take a biopsy. We like it much better this way. You're napping. I'm doing the work. I'll tell you all about it afterwards. But generally, it takes about 20 minutes or so.
I mean, it sounds pretty luxurious to me. It kind of almost sounds like a visit to the spa, but that's just how much I need a nap. You know, that sounds awesome.
Absolutely.
That sounds pretty great. Now, this is a Josh question because I got to know. What is the prep? Is it that magnesium citrate stuff, or is it like the real deal, like even better?
Well, so we have several different ones. There's something it could be magnesium citrate. It could be something we call Colite or New Lightly. We have one that comes in a jug. It's a gallon that you drink. You mix it, it's a dry powder, you mix it with water, and you drink that over several hours. We have some newer preps that patients do like. Some of them are sweet. They may have like a mango taste. Real mango is going to taste better. But there are some with lower volume, and so you can drink those and you can break it up. And then for patients that absolutely cannot tolerate that, we even have something called sorbitol, where it's like a little shot. You drink a little shot of prep followed by water. I mean, we will meet you wherever you are.
If you got any problems, if you don't like to drink copious amounts of fluid, we can hook you up with the concentrate.
Absolutely.
Get you the little shot glass. That's
yes.
That's like wild. Can you keep the little shot glass? Does it say West Georgia Gastroenterology on the side?
You know what? We're going to get some that say West Georgia Gastro.
Thank you.
We also have pills. Now, patients will come in and say, I want the pill. Well, we do have pills. It's not one pill. There are 32 pills, but again, if you don't have trouble swallowing pills, you can take it in a pill form. Again, the same prep, dry it up, concentrate it in a pill form. You take the pills, you drink water, and every few minutes you do that. So again, we got you.
Hey.
Whatever you need, we have you. So that is not an excuse, Josh, not to get it done.
Hey, I'm jazzed about that part. I feel like I feel bloated all the time anyway. I mean, of course, I think I'd go for the gallon, you know, like a bodybuilder in the gym.
Yes.
Walking around with a gallon
do
of water.
It. Do it.
All right. Well, groovy. Okay. So how frequently should people have a colonoscopy done if their results are normal, like afterwards?
So it depends. In general, if you are an average risk patient and we find no polyps, your next colonoscopy, you're not due until 10 years. Now, if you have a family history of colon cancer, even if your colonoscopy is normal, every 5 years you should come back. And if you have a history of inflammatory bowel disease, we want to see you back about every 3 years because you are high risk for developing colon cancer. But average risk patients, no polyps, normal colonoscopy, you have 10 years to come back.
Well, check it out. I mean, that's unexpected. I would have imagined it has to be, you know, a lot sooner. So, you know, if you don't have any symptoms and whatnot, you would, the next scheduled time would be about 10 years out.
Yes, absolutely. You can do it.
Well, we're going to go ahead and take our last commercial break, but we do have a comment from one of your fans here in the chat. We have from Debbie Miles Neal. Shout out to Debbie Neal. We have Dr. Lucas is awesome.
Oh, thank you, Debbie.
How about that? Thank you so much for that, Debbie. Bobby Gaines just joined the chat. Nice to see you there, Bobby. All right, so time is 8:50. We're going to go ahead and take our last commercial break. Okay. When we come back, we'll wrap up with about 7-8 minutes with the time we have left with Dr. Thelma Lucas from West Georgia Gastroenterology Associates. So, stick with us. Community Voice brought to you by Tanner Health System and Oak Mountain Academy.
The customized academic scholar journey at Oak Mountain Academy is individually designed to provide students with a personalized, clearly defined academic track that earns the student a series of distinctions upon graduation. This journey enables academically driven students to pursue a focused, rigorous course of study personalized to their wants and desires. I'm Patrick Uran, head of school, inviting you to journey with us on the mountain. For more information, visit us at oakmountain.us. Discover your journey at OMA. Prepare, explore, and achieve.
Consider the Mobius strip. Take a strip of paper, twist it, connect the ends. This connection forms a continuous loop. Seamless, infinite. That's how your healthcare should be too. At Tanner Health, the Mobius is our symbol and our promise, representing our continuum of care and our commitment that the services you need will be here for you always. We're not just changing healthcare, we're redefining it. See more at tanner.org.
And welcome back to Community Voice. Time is 8:51, and I'm very, very pleased to be continuing our conversation with Dr. Thelma Lucas. It is Colorectal Awareness Month, and she is with West Georgia Gastroenterology Associates, Tanner Health System, and it's been a tremendous show so far. So if we're going to wrap up here in a few minutes, so if you have any last-minute questions or comments for our amazing guests, feel free to throw those in the chat. And of course, share. It's the tail end of Colorectal Awareness Month, so share this show. Share so that we may save some lives, potentially, you know. Let everybody know, especially if you're in this age range, to start needing some screenings. Be sure to share, spread the word, so that everybody knows that colorectal cancer isn't as scary as you might have thought. Turns out, folks like Dr. Lucas here can actually help a lot. And there are a lot of preventative measures. There are, and even if it actually happens, it's very manageable.
Absolutely.
And thank you so much for the peace of mind you've given us. We have a few more. I have two comments that came in, and then one question.
Okay.
Because you're very popular. Taylor Walker Stripling says, "You are great, Dr. Lucas. I love working with WGGA."
Thank you, Taylor.
Shout out to Taylor. Uh-oh. And then we also have Chris Hicks. "Dr. Lucas makes this procedure so easy. She is the best." It's high praise.
Wow.
So if you're a little nervous about getting your colonoscopy, don't be, because look who you're dealing with. And then we have a question from a local author, Bobby Gaines. Bobby Gaines asks, "What about Cologuard?"
Sure. So there are several. There are other ways to get screened for colon cancer. You may have seen the little commercial, the little guy in the box, the blue box, all of that. So that is Cologuard. That is one way to get screened. That is for patients that are of average risk. And I'll come back to that. Other ways, you may have heard of those little tests called the FIT test, where you get a sample of stool. You would, yourself, take a sample of your stool, smear it on this little card, bring it back to the doctor's office. If you do that test, it detects blood in the stool that hasn't been digested. So it should not be, if you ate a rare steak, this should not make that test positive. So if you do that test, you would do that yearly. The Cologuard is another little test. Some of the insurance companies will send it out. You'll get it in the mail. You follow the directions. Again, you get a sample of your stool, put it in the box, put the little blue guy back in the mail. And if that Cologuard test is negative or normal, then you won't need to do that one again for 3 years. However, if you have a family history of colon cancer, if you have any symptoms, the Cologuard is not for you. This is for average risk patients with no symptoms at all. It can be expensive. However, if your insurance company doesn't cover it, the Cologuard test can cost about $600. So it's just something to keep in mind.
It's so funny how relevant this question is. Another comment came in. Deirdre Level Travis said, can you do Cologuard instead of a colonoscopy? So perfect timing. We just spoke about that. Personally, I would rather have the nap.
Yes,
so I think
absolutely.
I would go with the colonoscopy. I mean, to me, that sounds a lot more fun. So let's hit prevention tips.
Okay.
Beyond screenings, what can people do in their everyday lives to reduce the risk of developing colorectal cancer?
Yeah. So things that we can do are things that we can do to decrease the risk of developing all cancers. Eat healthier. Eat more vegetables, more fiber in our diet. We need to exercise. We really do. Get our weight down. Obesity, eating poorly, eating a high-fat diet, smoking, all of these things are going in the negative column, increasing our risk for developing colorectal cancer. But the main thing is to get screened. What we haven't talked about, and I don't know if that's something that you would ask, what are symptoms that patients may have to tell you that it's time to come in? So even if you're not 45 years old, if you pass blood in your stool, that is never normal. Hmm. Could it be hemorrhoids? It certainly could be. But don't self-diagnose. Come in, get checked out, because a lot of times it may be a polyp that's low down in the colon, or it could be cancer, it could be colitis. There are other things that it could be that need to be treated differently. It doesn't always have to be cancer, but it's never normal to see blood in your stool. We try to lose weight, but we know that it's not easy. If you have unintentional weight loss, you know, you've lost 20, 30 pounds and you're really not doing anything to lose weight, that's a sign that you need to get checked. If you have a change in your bowel habits, where you become constipated suddenly, your bowels are not moving, or let's say they're moving too much, you have loose stools, your stools are coming out very thin, pencil-like. These are all symptoms of, that something is going on in your body. A lot of times patients will say, yes, I've been having this going on for this many months, but I thought it was due to that. Again, you're self-diagnosing or you're asking Dr. Google. Don't ask Dr. Google.
No.
Ask me.
Ask Dr. Lucas.
Yeah, so any change in your bowels, any symptoms, abdominal pain, weight loss, blood in the stool, these are things that you need to get checked for, and then you may need a colonoscopy even earlier than the routine screening at age 45.
Perfect. Well, we only have about 3 minutes left. So why is it critical for people to overcome hesitation and fear, prioritize their health now rather than later? And perhaps we could speak a bit about Tanner's Cancer Care 3-Day Promise.
Mm-hmm. So again, we want the earlier we can diagnose colorectal cancer, the more options there are. In some cases, like I said, I may find a polyp that I can remove during the colonoscopy. It has a focus of cancer in there. The whole thing is gone. You don't need anything else except your follow-up colonoscopy. If you have an early cancer, the treatment options, you may need to only have surgery. Later cancers, you may have to have surgery and chemotherapy. So again, the earlier we catch it, the more options, the better the treatment, the better the outcome, the better the long-term survival rate. So we want to get in there and
take care of business.
Absolutely.
And the 3-day promise, if you're diagnosed with cancer, your specialists prepare that personal treatment plan. Mm-hmm. All within 3 days. Faster treatment, less worry. They can remove the precancerous polyps.
Yes.
I mean, that is a lot of assurance.
It really is, and it is pretty amazing. And I love being able to tell my patients, I hate being able to say we found cancer, but I'm always honest. If I see something that looks like a cancer, I'm going to tell you at the time. We're going to confirm it with your biopsy. But I love being able to tell you, you're going to get a call from Tanner 3-Day. And within the next 3 days, they're going to make you an appointment with the surgeon, the oncologist, get any x-rays, any labs that you need. We're going to take care of it within 3 days.
Perfect. All right. Well, we only have 1 minute left in the program, so I want to leave everybody with some information. If you have any questions or would like to schedule your colonoscopy directly, you can call their helpline at 1-833-262-6793. And you can answer a few quick questions of your health history. And if you qualify, you can schedule your colonoscopy. And of course, you can learn more at tanner.org/colonoscopy. Dr. Lucas, thank you so much.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
And to everyone who tuned in and commented on the live stream, have a wonderful weekend. We'll see you next time.